So last time we wrapped up the sugya about selling a Beis HaKnesses and disposing of a Beis HaKnesses, whether or not you have to build it first before you knock it down, and how you go about making that decision. So now we're shifting back out of that sugya, and we're going to wrap up our discussion of the halachos in the Mishnah. So if you turn back to the Mishnah, just so we can refamiliarize ourselves with the second half of the Mishnah. Right. So the first half of the Mishnah, on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, the Mishnah talks about whether or not you can force the other party of your boundary line neighbor, in a chatzar to build a wall with you, right? And our ultimate conclusion was that you can. And the reason why is because we pass that Hezek Riyah is Hezek. And therefore, in order to be misalik, to stop that Hezek from happening, that stop that invasion of privacy, you can force the other guy to build a wall with you. The only time that you cannot force a person to build a wall with you when it's in a chatzar is when it's less than a shear of a din chalukah, which is less than an amount of space of 4 amos per person, right? As long as the total space of the yard is 8 amos, then you could always force the other guy to join you in building the wall, right? That was the first half of the Mishnah. Now, the Mishnah in the second half, it's about halfway down the page, says v'chein bagina, and similarly in a garden, right? So when we described the different types at the very, very beginning, when we started Bavastra a few months ago, so we described the different types of property that a person might have. A chatzar is your most private form of property. It's where you take care of private business. It's not inside your house, but it's the most a non-inside your house private form of property that you would own. A gina is somewhere in the middle. It's private, but it's only semi-private. And then there's the bika, which is basically, you know, public. It's essentially public property. It's the outback. It's where you graze your animals. It's where you build, you keep your shed, your farm tools. So it's not technically public property. It belongs to you. You do things that are for your own private benefit there. However, it is not something that people are not able to look into and see what's going on, right? Just think of how you drive through, you know, rural America, right? You see what's going on in the field. It's not so hard, even if there's a wall, even if there's a fence, right? You see exactly what's going on there. Okay, so the Mishnah says, v'chein bagina, and similarly with agina, makom shenahagu ligdor mechayven oso. And the same thing is true with agina, that since if it's a place, or since it's a place, that the custom is to build a fence, you're mechayvim to build a fence, right? So that's already a strange language, because what's v'chein bagina makom shenahagu ligdor? Is it agina, is it because the custom is to build a wall? Or is a gina similar to a chatzer, and therefore it doesn't matter what the custom is? In which case, why is the Mishnah telling me that I care about the custom altogether? Right? So, and if I don't care about the custom, so then what's v'chein? Right? So the Mishnah is ambiguous. Avo babika, as opposed to a gina, and presumably a chatzer, a bika, a valley, makum shenagu shalolikdor, a place where people generally do not build a fence, in mechayv noso. Then we don't mechayv you to build a fence. Elaim ratza, however, if you want to build your own fence in a bika, Kones lesoch shalo ubone, you go into your own property, meaning not on the property line, but you take a step back or a couple paces back, and you build your own fence. Ve'osa chazis mi bachutz. And since it's all in your property, you build a chazis, which is like that, you know, decorative plaster on the outside to show that this is where your property starts or ends, I guess, depending on which side of the fence you're standing on. Lefikach, therefore, imnafal hakosel, if the wall falls down, hamakom ve'avanim shalo. Right, and of course, because we now know that because you went into your own property, so if the wall falls, we obviously know who it belongs to. It belongs to the person whose property it was, and it's fully yours, right? The other guy has no claim to any of the materials or to the space on which the wall once stood, right? As opposed to what we said in the first half of the Mishnah, which is because we could force you, so we know that it must be split. Okay. So, im asu midashneim, however, in a bika, if they both agreed to do it, they build the wall in the middle, and they put the plaster on either side, or on both sides, I should say. Lefikach, therefore, since there's plaster on both sides, we know it belongs to both of them. Since there's plaster on both sides, we know that it belongs to both of them. Now, the problems with the second half of the Mishnah are myriad, some of which we'll discuss, some of which we'll leave for a different time. But we're just thinking about it logically. Once you tell me that there's a gina and a bika, and they have different rules as to what the custom is in terms of building a wall or not, okay, so I already know why in a chatzer, if the wall falls down, it goes on both sides. Why does the Mishnah need to tell me that if I put a chazis in on my side of the wall, when I pull it into my possession, so that shows that it's mine? That should be an obvious implication and inference from the first half of the Mishnah, right, where you can't do that. And even if you tell me that I need that, right, and I need to have a chazis, because if I didn't have the mission tell me that I put a chazis, I would think that any wall that I put up, he'll have a fair claim at, right? Because how else will we know? Okay, so then the mission definitely does not need to tell me that we should put a chazus on both sides if we're both voluntarily putting up a wall, right? So why is the Mishnah telling me about a chazus? So the Gemara is going to address some of these questions. We're going to take a look at them, but those are the questions that we're trying to figure out this morning. Okay, so now turn to Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. So if you look, it's approximately, I would say it's about a quarter of the way up from the bottom. It starts with, it's from the very beginning of the line. It starts with the words V'chein Bagina. Makum Shnagdu Ligdor Mechayvin Oso. It's about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 lines up from the bottom. 13 lines up from the bottom, sorry. V'chein Bagina. It's right across from Rashi Imkein Mai Avo Babeka. V'chein Bagina Makum Shnagdu Ligdor Mechayvin Oso. And the same thing is in a Bika, right? In a Gina, that where it's a place that you are going to make offense, then you can be mechayven to make offense. So the Gemara says, Hagufa kasha. We have a problem. The same problem we just highlighted. Amrit, you told me, v'chein bagina, makom shenagu ligdor mechayven oso. You told me that in a gina, a place where people build a fence, you're mechayv to make a wall. Hastama, if there's just stam, there's no rule, there's no custom, ain't mechayven oso. Then you're not going to be mechayven to build a wall. Okay, ema seifa, I'll tell you the next line of the Mishnah. Avobika, makom shenagu shelo ligdor, ain't mechayven oso. Hastama, but without a custom not to build a wall in the Bika, mechayven oso. So hasha stam gina amrit lo, stam Bika mibai? If the implication of the Mishnah is that a standard gina does not require a wall, so you're going to tell me that I need to write in the Mishnah that a Bika is a place that doesn't need a wall? It seems unnecessary, right? Once you say, v'chein bagina makum shenagu ligdor, so then the fact that a bika is a makum shelo nagu ligdar is obvious. Right? That's the implication of the Mishnah. So Amar Abaye, hachi kamar, no, this is what it means. V'chein stam gina uva makum shenagu ligdar babika mechayven osa. In a standard gina and in a place where they have a custom to build a fence in a bika, then you're mechoyev to build the wall. So Abaye rereads the Mishnah, right? What is he saying? He's saying that a gina requires a wall. Again, similarly to a chatzar, because there's some kind of hezek ri'ah, presumably. Right? That's
in all cases.
Right. I'm saying in all cases there's hezek ri'ah.
Not just a case of where it's a custom.
Correct. Saying v'chein bagina is a reference to the earlier part of the Mishnah. Gina gets treated like a chatzar. You can force them to build a wall, subject to the same rules that we discussed when it comes to a chatzar. Okay, what about a bika? And that's, and then he changes the way the Mishnah is to be read, which is uvamakum shenagu ligdor babika mechayven osa. And a place where the custom is to build in a bika, then we can be mechoyev you to build a wall. Why? Because presumably there's no hezek ri'ah in a bika, right? It's a semi-private space, right? Most people could see into your valley. You can't protect your acres and acres of farmland or your wooded areas from people's invasion of your privacy. It's impossible, right? So there's no assumption of hezek ri'ah. And therefore, if there's a custom to build a wall, then you could force him. And then, of course, if there's no custom to build a wall, then you don't build the wall. No, fine. So Amar Le Rava. So Rava says to Abaye, right? It seems that that's a nice reading. So Imkain, my aval. Rava's one simple question, right? If it's true that this is the way you build the then what's aval babika? No, it should say ubabika. But it says aval. Aval, when it means but, is the but with quotes. It's, well, this is going to be different. Okay, but you just said that the bika is the same. So how could it be? So how do you read the Mishnah then? Right, so Rava's reading of the Mishnah is not going to work. So Abaye has a different... Abaye's reading of the Mishnah is not going to work. So Rava has a better explanation. Ela amar Rava, achi katani. Here's how we read the Mishnah. V'chein stam gina, kemakum shenagu ligdor dami. U'mechayven oso. A standard gina is like a place where the custom is to build a wall, and therefore you are mechuyev to build a wall. In other words, v'chein bagina is in fact a reference to chatzer. Just like a chatzer is a place where you build a wall, so to a gina, even though I could understand why you wouldn't build a wall, that is treated as a place where the custom is assumed to build a wall, and therefore you must build a wall. Aval stam bika, but a standard valley, it's kamakum shenlo nagu dami, ve'en mechayven oso. And therefore the ambiguity of the Mishnah is solved. Because, on the other hand, a bika is a place where we would never assume that there's any reason for you to build a wall, and therefore the custom is assumed not to build a wall. Now, of course, the benefit of reading the Mishnah this way is that in the event that there is a different custom in a particular place, so then you'd follow that custom, right? Which is, of course, one of the rules that we saw at the beginning of the Mishnah, which is hakol kaminag hamedina, right?
But only in a bika.
but only in a beka, right? We assume that a gina is by definition a place which will always be treated as like a chatzer, right? And of course, that becomes, it stems from the hezek ri'ah component. Okay, fine. So now we have a better reading of the Mishnah. The Gemara continues. Now, here's where it starts to get a little complicated. Ela imratza konis asok shalo ubonavo osa chazes. Right? In a beka, if you want, remember, since a beka is a place where you don't need to build a wall, if you want to push your own wall into your own property in order to build it, right? Presumably, why are you doing that? Because your neighbor cannot be forced to join you. And your neighbor says, who cares? I don't need a wall in my backyard. My backyard is 400 acres in rural Iowa. I don't need, what are you want to do? You're going to look at my corn? Look at my corn. I don't care. Right? So he's not interested. So he's not going to build the wall. So that's why you're doing it in your own property. But the Mishnah tells you have to do this chazis. Right? You have to put some kind of a decorative plaster, some kind of signifier on the outside of the wall. So the Gemara says, my chazis. What is a chazis? So Amar Rav Huna, ach fele lekarna lebar, v'navid milagav. Look at Rashi here, because if you look at Rashi, michfei lekarna lebar, Rashi hakosel yachof letzad chaveira, right? Achve here doesn't mean force, it means to turn, right? So you turn the tops of the wall to face outwards towards your friend. Meaning, almost think like, you see on the scaffolding, they have like the spikes to keep the pigeons away, right? So imagine that you put those spikes at a slight angle pointing outwards, right? The idea, like barbed wire, right? You don't put the barbed wire facing in, you put it facing out. If somebody climbs up your fence, right, they can't jump over the barbed wire. So here, the Gemara is saying, not to prevent people from jumping over the fence, but to show that this is where your land starts, you just angle the top of the wall slightly outwards towards the other guy's property. Okay. So now the Gemara says, v'ne'avim milagav, why don't you do it angling towards your own property? So the Gemara says, avid chavre name milavar, because then your friend is going to do it on the outside of his wall, v'amar didividideu, and he'll say, the two walls are split. We share the wall. In other words, he'll build a much thinner wall with much less substandard material, and he'll point the wall that way, and he'll say, oh, together, we did the same thing. And we share the wall, and then we split it. Now, what's the din in a bika? Can you force the other guy to build a wall with you? No. So what's going to be the presumption if the wall falls down? That it belongs to one of them, not both of them. So if the chazis is a signifier of who owns the wall, so if we do it in a way that will allow your neighbor to do a shmedre, as they say in the business, right, in the business world, they do a shtick, right? They do something that's not so kosher in order to steal some of your land, steal some of your property. So you're going to end up with losing out on your wall. So that's not going to work. But Amar David Dehu, see Hachi, if that's true, Hashtanami Gaiz Lechabre, but Amar David Dehu. Okay. So if you're concerned about that, so let's just assume the following. Let's say you built your very nice wall and you put your chazis on top, you put your angle on top, and then your friend comes along and he just plasters over the outside of the wall, right? Saying if you walk into anybody's backyard, right? So a fence goes on both sides. So imagine if you just walk up to the fence.
But it's on your property.
Right, but it goes up to the property line, right? So let's say this is the property line right here. Right? So I build my wall over here on my side and your property goes up to here. So you, instead of building a wall, you don't want to do that, but you want to take ownership of, you know, a few extra inches. You want some of my stones, whatever it is. So what do you do? One night, or I go on vacation for Pesach, and I come home, and on your side of the wall, you plastered the whole thing, you have a beautiful mural that you painted there, and now you're going to tell everybody it's your wall. How am I going to prove it's not? You have a chazis now, right? And you could say, look, see, he could have put a chazis on his side, I put a chazis on my side, it's a shared wall. Right? In other words, the Gemara's problem is that the chazis isn't going to solve the problem that we're concerned of, which is showing where the demarcating line is.
But at the end of the day, there's nothing that can prevent you from trying to, quote unquote, steal the other person's land, because that's in essence what's happening here.
Correct. But remember, just recall though, that when we talked about a chatzer, even if you actually do steal the guy's land, Beis Din doesn't care about your possession or about your claims or even about your witnesses, because we know that the land has to belong to both of you, right? Conversely, we know here that the land does not have to belong to both of you, but it could. No, but it could. The fact that it could changes the whole game. Meaning it's not that it can't belong to both of us, it's that I can't force it to belong to both of us. Meaning in the chatzer, the reason why I have the power to throw out any of your claims is because by definition, this space is going to be shared. That's the first assumption of this space. But in a bikka, I can never force you to join me. So even if I build fully on my property, so if it ends up being that you claim that we actually split it, well, that's a perfectly valid claim. I can't throw that out at face value because maybe you did in fact agree 25 years ago to build the wall with me. Who knows?
But doesn't the fact that in this particular wall that you're building, you designated whether you agree that it's in or out, you know, in terms of that little parapet or whatever you want to call it, comes out, doesn't that almost definitionally conclude that one party built it and the other?
Well, that's what the Gemara is trying to prove, is that the fact that it's not that because you built it that way shows that it's yours, but rather the fact that it's there will tell us who put it there.
That's what I'm saying.
But the fact is that if that's the case, so then as long as somebody puts another one there, so then that tells us that it belongs to both of them, right? And in fact, the Mishnah, thinks that.
There's a difference between a chazit and an actual, angling of the bricks or whatever you're...
So I'm saying, but then how do you read the last line of the Mishnah, right? Which is, boninus akosel be'emta, right? Im asu midas shnehem. If you go back to the Mishnah at the very end, right? The Mishnah says, in a bikka, if they do it willingly together, what do you do?
But presumably in that construction, there's not going to be an angling, because it's going to be both of them.
Or there's going to be an angling like this, or there'll be an angling like this.
Right.
But I'm saying, whatever it is that I would do, you could do the inverse and then claim that we shared it. And there's grounds for such a reality, because the Mishnah itself envisions a world where we could share it. So that's where we're concerned about. Depending on how we structure this, right, you'll always be able to have a claim against me that, what do you mean? We share this, even if that's not a correct claim. Right? You could be an outright liar and it doesn't matter. Right? You'd be able to make the claim and our hands would be tied. So that's what the Gemara is trying to figure out here.
There's an argument for putting it on the outside rather than the inside, right?
As of right now, we're talking about the outside and the inside. I mean, the Gemara entertained both, and the Gemara said it won't make a difference. Remember, because so far the Gemara only entertained an angling or some kind of decorative feature that angles outwards or inwards, right? But it's something that's on top of the wall.
But if you put it on the going towards your friend, like Rashi had said, mm-hmm. originally, then in order for them to make to steal part of the wall, wouldn't they have to then go onto your land? And
oh, good. So the Rashba points this out. So the Rashba cites the opinion of the Re'eben Migash, who says that there's a that when we finish the Gemara, it will become more relevant. But he says that the concern of the Gemara is how much are we worried that you're going to trespass, right? Saying so, steal a little bit of land. Everybody does that, right? Everybody fights over the borders. That's standard. But to go into your backyard when you're not home to paint your side of the wall, so that you could say it's mine, or to put, whatever it is, right. So that maybe that's not the case.
But you're positing, because I was thinking about that, but you're positing that your wall abuts the boundary of the border.
Yes.
So if it's abutting the border, then all you're doing is that you're just painting on what you're now claiming is your side of the wall.
Right, exactly. And that's why it's so easy, assuming that it's on your side. Right. Right? So far, we've been operating with the assumption that the chazis is the end of your property, right. not the side of your property, which beyond that the wall is yours also, but rather that this is the demarcating line. Think the survey boundary, right? The chalk line that the surveyors put down, right? So think that's what the chazis is basically saying. It's the edge, right? If you look, we didn't read the rest of Rashi. Rashi says, if you go back to that Rashi of Michvei Lekarne Labar, Rashi says, v'chol chazis lashem kotzehu. It's the edge, right? That's what a chazis means, right? Okay. So that's where we're holding the Gemara now. So then the Gemara says, okay, well, if we're concerned about hashtanami gaiz lechavrei, barmei davidehu, so Gemara says, Gizuza Meida Yidia. If the guy goes and paints over on his side, or he scrapes it off on his side and he puts up a new one, everybody's going to know. In other words, it's true. We are concerned that a guy will go and try and mess you over and take part of your wall, take part of your land by putting up a chazis. But at a certain level, it'll be known, it'll be obvious that there was a replacement job done here. You can't, there's no amount of masonry work is going to be able to make it provable that this was here the whole time and it never changed. No, you'll be able to see, right? It'll be a new coat of paint, right? You can't age paint on a wall. Maybe you could, I don't know, I'm not a forger, but I doubt that anybody's ever aged paint on a brick wall in a backyard in rural Iowa, right? I'm saying these are not things that are easy to do. So if we see that the guy is going to put up his own chazis, we'll know right away. And then you'll go to the third paragraph of Avastra and you'll fight in court over your claims. I was here for 25 years. This guy never claimed my wall. Who is he? And then he'll say, what do you mean? Your father sold it to me. And then he'll say, okay, substantiate that evet. No evet, right? And that's the whole Bava Basra. So we'll leave that for the third parak. Right? But here, at minimum, the Gemara is willing to entertain the fact that if it would be obvious that there is no concern that you're stealing the land, because everybody will know that you did some kind of inappropriate behavior, so then we would not be worried about that. Fine. Ika da'amri, another version of the Gemara. Amar Rav Huna michva lekarno miligav. Turn it facing inwards. So the Gemara says, v'navid milavar. Okay, so do it on the outside. Guy's lechavre. Okay, his friend is going to paint over it. He's going to scrape it off, whatever. He's going to do something to it so that it becomes, so that he could say that it's his. V'amar David Dehu. No, it's mine. It's ours together. So Gemara says, yachi hashtanami laif lechavre. V'amar David Dehu. So Gemara says, okay, maybe his friend will build on the inside of his wall. And he'll say, oh, see, I built one that faces my side too. So Gemara says, lifufa meide yadia. If you, lifufa, if you add a bit, if you add a bit extra, so everybody's going to know. Right? You can see always, right? You could even see, if you go to Eretz Israel, you see the Kotel, right? You could see where they built the wall on top of the Kotel, right? You see where the stones change, right? It goes from big stones to medium stones to tiny little bricks, right? So you could see, when you add height to a wall or when you add structure to a wall, you always know where the new stuff is, right? You can never really, right? You can just walk up and down 86th Street, look at the brick buildings where they've pulled out the bricks for the you know, local law, whatever it is, 10, 11, whatever it is, testing. They put in a new brick, right? So you could always tell which are the new bricks because they don't look the same as the old bricks because they're not weathered, they're not the same color, so they're a different lot, they go the wrong way, whatever it is, right? So you could see, you could always see. So the Gemara says, okay, v'ami b'chutz katani. Okay, we have a problem though. We said they're supposed to do it achazus on the outside. So this whole version of the Gemara of milagav is not going to work. So the Gemara says, yeah, kasha. It's a good kasha, okay. So we'll go back to the first version, right? Which is that where do you do the chazis? On the outside of the wall. Now, that still leaves us with a problem, which is that you could theoretically fake your way into some of the wall, but as long as whatever it is that you're going to do is going to be noticeable, then we don't care. It's not our concern. Okay, fine. Rabbi Yochanan Amar. Rabbi Yochanan has a different solution than Rav Huna. Nish'aye ba'amasa milavar. Don't angle the wall, but rather look at Rashi on the top line. Itach batit ama barosh hakot lami bachutz. Plaster the top ama of the wall across the entire thing. Meaning, put a decorative like this border here. Imagine this was painted instead of wood. And just at the top of the wall, you paint a whole line across the whole wall in Amahai. And you know now that this is the edge of your property. So the Gemara says, okay, v'ne'avid milagav, so do it on the inside. So the Gemara says, avid chavre milavar v'amar David Dehu. If you do it on your inside of your wall, meaning facing the inside of your property, not on the outside of your wall, so then he'll put it on the outside and he'll say, look, see, I put on the inside of my wall, you put on the inside of your wall, and we split the wall. So yachi, if that's true, hashtanami mikfale chavre v'amar David Dehu. Okay, so then his friend will do the same thing. He'll still paint it on the inside of his wall and then say, no, see, mine is on the outside facing his wall, his is on the outside facing my backyard, and we split it. Right? Chacham. So what does he say? Kilufa mediadia. If he does this painting, he does this doubling, he does this extra, you're going to know. Now, whether or not we pass in this way is going to be subject to the next discussion in the Gemara, as we're going to see. So keep in mind everything we just said, which is that, generally speaking, a chazis does demarcate where the edge of your wall is in a place which we would expect you to share. And let's see the next Gemara. Hutza, Amr of Nachman, Sinufe Yereche Milavar. Rashi says, Hutzaim Asu Mechitzos Nitzarim, Ketzad Yasu. What Yasu Chazis? How do you make a chazis when you use a plank fence? Right? So if you drive in the suburbs, right, it was very popular in the late 90s and the early 2000s to use narrow board plank fences. Right now the fences are fancy, they're made out of vinyl, and they're made out of, they're decorative, they have crenellations on top. But in the old days, you just bought fence posts and you made a fence of posts. Very, very simple, very thin, nothing there. So how do you make a chazis on that? So the Gemara says, Rashi says, what is the sinufa yirechi labar? Rashi ahutzim yeshu latzad zdei chavero. You put the tops of the hutzim next to the field of your friend. You double board it. In other words, you put a post in the ground, and when it starts to tip over a little bit, so then you put another post right behind it, and you tie it back. And that way you double it up. That's how you know that it's your fence. Okay. So the Gemara says, so do that on the inside. So Avinani Chavri Milavar v'Amr David Dehu. Same exact problems we had before. So Gemara says, Ihachi, Hashtanami guy is Vishadilei. So he'll just take your board, throw it out, and he'll put his own board there. V'Amr David Dehu. So Gemara says, Mishrik Leitina. No, we're not concerned about that. because it's too smooth. It's not going to have the same weathering, right? So your old board is going to be smoother than the new board because it's going to have been sitting out there for some amount of time.
Right, but this whole thing presumes that there's been a period of time that passes.
Yes.
And the, you know, you can correct. Have a very simple scenario. I go, I stay till Pesach, I go away for 6 months, and the day I leave, he's going to go and do this.
Exactly. So we're getting there. Give me 30 more seconds. So Gemara says, Hashanam yasi chavri v'kalef le'kilufa. Okay, his friend's also going to go and put the extra board on the other side. So media dia, and then he'll know. So by Amr, no. Hutza les le'takanta, ela bishtara. If you have a plank fence, there's no takana for demarcating where your fence ends and where your next property begins without a contract. You must have a contract. Now, you would think that if we stopped right here, that the halach is like Abaye, right? Abaye is the last one. He's halach kabasra. And he says, and it says it with finality. The problem is that the other Rishonim, the Rishonim don't think the halach is like Abaye. And the question is, why? So, this is where we bring in our Rashman, the Rebbe, and Ash that you brought up before, Nathan. So the
Shtara argument suggests that even though everything is on my property, I technically need the other side's consent?
Or I just need a deed that shows that this is my fence.
That's
right? It's not a contract in the sense that between parties, it's a deed. It's I would have two witnesses come. Yeah, I'm saying I would have two witnesses or two surveyors, right? We'll call them, come and sign a piece of paper that says, here's the boundary line, everything that exists, including the wall of X thickness made of this material, it belongs to Yenim. And the other guy on the other side,
but
too bad.
That's been there forever.
Right, and this is the problem, which is why...
in the courts forever.
Right, I'm saying, and this is the problem, which is that the Rishonim have a problem passing like Abaye, because, well, then what's the whole point of the Mishnah? I'm saying, if at the end of the day, right, you could say that you just need a shtar, you need a deed for all, okay, so then what, see, then you never really own anything unless you have a deed.
Right.
So just, the Mishnah should just say, Hashutafin Shiratsu Lachatzos, Tzarech Shtar. Finished. That should be the whole Mishnah. I don't need anything else.
Right.
You want to split? Split whatever you like, do it however you want, you need a contract. That's what it should say.
Right.
But it doesn't say that. So ultimately, the Rishonim do not like this. They do not pass in like Abaye. They all say that the halach is not like Abaye. Okay, so if the halach is not like Abaye, so then how do you deal with it? So the Rebbe Migash has an interesting solution, which is he reinterprets his entire Gemara along the lines of what you were saying before, Nathan, which is that the only concern with the chazis is that the other guy is going to come into your property and do it on your side. And that's why you do it on the inside. It shows that it belongs to you and that the wall belongs to you.
The inside
of the chazit is on facing your own property. And why is that showing that the wall belongs to you? Because where are we talking about? We're in a bikkah, right? The bikkah, by definition, is a place where you can't force the other guy to build a wall. So if you have a chazit facing your own property, that shows that you pulled the boundary line, essentially, into your own property to put the wall fully on your property. And therefore, even though it's true that made the yadiyah, right, the other guy could do this on your side of the wall, but we don't care. Because at the end of the day, since we're in a bikkah, the assumption is that this land is not shared.
So let me say it differently. The assumption is that if there's a chazit on both sides, you know, someone has done it inappropriately.
Yes. And we'll assume the outside person did it inappropriately because we know that the standard state in a bikkah is that we're not sharing it. Now, if we had an agreement, right, and this is where it gets complicated, let's say that you bring Aiden, that you actually did agree 35 years ago to build the wall with me, and we have a chazis on both sides. So now we have a problem, right? Because maybe I'll bring Aiden that shows that I put the whole wall in my property. So then where do you... I think that's above the master. That's the third paragraph. That's the bottom problem. But that's where the next step of the complication comes in. But at least there's a way to salvage the din of a chazis in the Mishnah, which is that if we view it as on the inside being the... from the inside to the property line is yours, right? And everything beyond that is obviously not yours. Okay, fine. So let's just wrap up with this last bit of the Gemara, because that way next time we could do the Mishnah, the next Mishnah, which is a very fun sugya. So let's just wrap up the last bit of the Gemara here. Avalim asu midas shnehem, if they do it together, right? So they build this wall in the Bika with both of their own knowledge. So Amar le Rava mi parzika le Rav Ashi. Lo yasu lo ze v'lo ze. So neither of them should make a chazis. So Amar le lo tricha. No, we need to. Why? Dekadim chad minayu v'ava didei. Because one already built a chazis. V'ilo avid chavre. And if the other guy doesn't make a chazis, Amar didehu. He'll say, it's mine. Vitana takanta l'ramai, And the Tana is making a takana for fakers, for liars, for tricksters. Sorry, I read that wrong. Look at Rashi. Rashi, did you read a bit to me? Amar, so Amar Dehu. Wait a second. So what's this Bach? The Bach adds Amar Le. Ah, yeah, that makes more sense. That's why. Okay. So if you add Amar Le where the little Aleph is, then it reads much better. So Amar Le. So Ravashi says back to Rav Miparzika, V'tana takanta l'ramai k'mash v'lan? And our Tana is making a takana, a halacha, that you have to follow simply because we're assuming that some people are bad people, that they're liars, that they're going to try and steal? So Amar Le, V'reisha lav takanta l'ramai hu? Okay, you think that's such a good kasha. What, in the first half of the Mishnah wasn't for liars?
With the old line in law, you only write contracts because you trust people won't be honoring them.
Exactly, right? That's it. So but I'm saying, but the difference here is that the Mishnah is prescribing a set of rules that we have to follow. Meaning, it's true that you've read a contract for the people's behavior, right? But we don't necessarily need, I mean, at least not in America, but we don't make laws assuming that people are going to behave poorly, right? We only make laws if we specifically prohibit particular actions or behaviors, right? In a free country, other than that, you can do whatever you want. So generally speaking, certainly when it comes to monetary law, freedom is the predominant approach in halacha, right? There are certain rules and restrictions that govern your actions, but outside of those rules and restrictions, whatever you want to do is up to you. Right? Call Tanai Shimon, Tanai Kayam. You can make whatever conditions and behaviors you want. You're entitled.
Is the Lo Tzrifa that one person already in the past had made a chazit? Or is it that we're worried that one person will come and make a chazit and we'll have no recourse?
What's the difference? Lemaisa. Either way, the adjudication is going to end up being the same. Saying if you already did it, so now you have no recourse. If we're worried he's going to do it, so then, so far nobody's done it yet, in which case we're trying to give you advice. Because what are we concerned about? That one person is going to do it without the other person's knowledge, and then you'll have no recourse.
Yeah, but there could be a distinction where you say, no, that the case where you both have to do it is only when one person already did it, as opposed to...
You could say that, but then the problem is, but you never saw the problem of, okay, but one day a guy's going to wake up while you're on Pesach vacation and paint your wall.
Right, okay.
And then you're toast. Saying whether or not he's doing the right thing, right? You could wake up one morning and decide to do the wrong thing.
Right, but it could be, but the two reads of this could be the difference between whether it's good advice for you both to make a chazit, or you are both.
If it's good advice, then why is the Mishnah saying it as a din? That they should both put up a chazit. Osa chazit mikan lakan. Right, that seems to be a prescription.
Right.
I'm saying so therefore, ultimately, the fact that you have already done it, so, well, now we know that you're a shady dude, right? And if you didn't do it yet, well, we know that you might become a shady dude. Right, and that's exactly Gemara's concern, which is if the only concern here is because some people are never going to behave properly, so then why are we making laws for people who don't behave properly? Right, I'm saying we have a law; it's called Osigzol, don't steal. Right, we need more than that. Say, why should it be more complicated than that? Right, so that's what the Gemara is essentially asking. So Amar Leisi, your response to him: Bishlam Reisha makes sense in the Reisha of the Mishnah where we write about the Chatzer and the Gina, Tana Dina Umishum Dina Tana Takanta. Right? What's the halacha? The halacha is that there's hezek re'iyah, so you have to be misalik the hezek re'iyah by building a wall. And once you have to build a wall, so now we're telling you, okay, here's how you go about building the wall. Here are the rules. Here's the building code, right? Ela seifa dina katani? De katani tekanta? You're telling me that the seifa, the Mishnah, is a halacha? No. A bika, you don't have to build a wall. Kiuze. So don't give me that you're putting up, the Mishnah is going to give me, building code ideas. Here, by the way, here, if you want to write a zoning code, let me tell you what you should... Why? There's no halacha here altogether. So you can't tell me that the Mishnah is writing zoning code ideas. So Am Ravina, hacha behutzi askinan la'afuke midabaye. And here's why we don't pass in like abaye, because we're talking about boards, not about real walls. Dam rahutza lesle takanta ela bishtara kamash v'lan t'bechazes sagi. The Gemara itself comes to tell you that the reason why the safe of the Mishnah exists is not just to give you building code ideas, but because even when you build a flimsy wall, if it's in a place where you don't have to build such a wall, if you put a chazis, that is a demarcation. The fact that somebody could come and be a ganif, okay, people can be ganavim. So, but you have a chazis. And if you come to court and you say, listen, I put my chazis here, and all the people who were at my backyard barbecue party last month saw my chazis, and now all of a sudden this guy is waking up, 2 months later and saying he has a chazis, who cares about him? Why should we care? Not our problem. And ultimately, therefore, we don't pass in like Abaye, because the Gemara is essentially concluding that the whole point of the Mishnah is that a chazis is not just a good idea, but rather a chazis is in fact a halachic standing. Now, the question is, what's the mechanism of chazis? Then that's a complicated issue, which I would rather leave for when we discuss chazaka in the third parak, if we ever get there, because at the end of the day, a chazis operates very seemingly like a chazaka. It's saying, I'm showing that I've been here. It's not a contract, it's not edim, it's not... And we don't even have what we have in the Reish of the Mishnah, which is the standard state assumption, which is that everybody has to partake. So there's no real muchzak here to rely on, and yet the Gemara thinks that a chazis is enough of a substantial definition to say, hey, this is the line, and you can't cross it. Okay, maybe, but how does that work, right? I thought Cheskas Gimel Shanim was itself a chiddush. So this is a pretty big chiddush for the Gemara. And yet that's why maybe the Mishnah needs to actually tell us that, because otherwise it would not be intuitive that you would think that if you just paint your wall, that would be sufficient to say this is actually, in fact, my space. Okay, so we'll stop here, and next time we'll look at the next Mishnah, which is about Makif es Chavero. If you get benefit from somebody else's work, how much do you have to compensate them for that benefit?